So, it's great to be in London again. Are you having a good time in your life?
Yes.
We have a good time, don't we? I will share something tonight which is in my heart. Usually we do that if we are preachers. We don't talk from our head, hopefully. But the last 8-9 days, I think it is, I've been talking in 4 different conferences in different parts of Europe, in England as well. And I had a feeling in the beginning of the fall, actually I felt that after the summer, that there is something. I'm a little bit cautious when I say things like this because I don't want to just proclaim a lot of stuff which is just fantasy. But I don't think I'm in fantasy right now. I had a feeling that we are entering into something new by the beginning of this fall. And I had this experience a few times before, you see. And I want to describe this a little bit. I give you a scripture first, you don't get nervous. It's from John chapter 4. Okay, it's from verse 35. It's a very, very familiar word. My food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to accomplish His work. Do you not say, there are yet 4 months, then comes the harvest? Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. Okay, let's pray together. Father, I thank you. Thank you that we can be together here this evening. Thank you for your presence here. Thank you for what you have planned for our lives. Thank you that you're a good God, that you never change your mind about us. And thank you that we can change our mind about you. We need to change our mind about you because you are much greater, you are much wiser and more powerful than we believed until now. Thank you that you are the great God, that you are powerful, and that you are working powerful things in this time, that you are working powerful things in our lives, through our lives. And I thank you for my friends here. I ask that you bless us here tonight. And bless this word that I feel you want me to share. And we ask you, Holy Spirit, to give life to it. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Okay, so here Jesus is talking to his disciples. And it's a very interesting event that has taken place before, of course. Jesus has been talking to this woman by the well. And the disciples has not really been talking to the woman. They've been into the city or town, and they've been buying food and they've been eating and stuff. And at the same time, the woman walks into the village, and she starts a revival. And Jesus is standing there, and he's just enjoying himself, even though he didn't eat food. And the disciple comes out, and they offer him some of their food because they bought some extra sandwiches for him. And Jesus tells them and said, you know, I already eaten. And I said, what did you eat? And Jesus said, well, I got some food that you don't even know anything about. So I think that is quite strong statement Jesus do there. And the disciples, who brought him food? So they looked at each other, and John asked James, did you give him food? And everybody knew that Judas didn't give him any food anyway. And they were a bit concerned. And then Jesus explained for them, well, my food is to do the will of the Father. And then immediately after that, he's saying this. Are you not saying that it's yet 4 months until the harvest is coming? And but I tell you, lift your eyes and see. And if you see this picture, you see, when the disciples are standing here, because here now I look down because I feel a bit embarrassed, because Jesus are having a revival and they don't have, they just have ordinary food, and Jesus is anointed and full of fire and full of joy and happiness, and they just have full bellies and not really satisfied, just wondering what is he talking about. And then Jesus very practically, he say to them, Just look over there. And what they see when they're looking is all those people who's coming from the town that this woman has been telling about, this man, the prophet, who knew everything about her life. So here literally, the harvest is coming to them. And Jesus, he knew exactly what he was doing, because he was led by the Holy Spirit. And Jesus was aware that the season is not 4 months from now, but season is now. There's a time and a season of harvest now. What I want you to do, disciples, lift up your eyes and see. Then you will see it with your own eyes. And here they see, I don't know how many, maybe 150, 200 people just come walking towards Jesus. They don't have to do much about it, but they have to see it. And what I have felt, for I felt that we are stepping into a new season now, okay? And I know that in some churches they talk about stuff like this all the time, and when we start a new year, now we have a season of multiplication, a season of this and this and this, and it's okay. Some of that stuff I think it's just from the head, but I really believe that, from my heart, I believe that we are entering into something new now. And I have this feeling that the Holy Spirit is saying, he's been saying that to me like the last, us in summer, the preparation time is over.
Yes, amen.
So, and what does that mean? Well, the preparation time is over. It means that the Holy Spirit has been molding us. He's been changing us. He's been challenging us. He's been teaching us good things. He changed our life. And hopefully we kept that freedom until now. And now he's coming to that point where he's actually causing us to understand that actually what has been given to us, we cannot keep for ourselves. Now, it's very simple in one way, but for some people, they never come into that situation because they forget to lift their eyes from themselves. And what happened with the disciples there, I'm sure if we, when we meet them in heaven, we meet at least 11 of them there, then you and I, we can have a good talk with them, and they will explain for us the transformation they experienced on that day, because it became so very clear for them, okay? Because they had questions among themselves. Of course, why are we following this man? I mean, what is he talking about, the kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God here and there, and what is going to happen? Why is he doing this? And bit by bit, gradually, they understood that this is what he wants. He actually is preparing us for something great that is coming. And I like this picture. If I could paint, maybe I'll learn that one day, I would like to paint a painting of this, you see. Because I believe that this is a picture of the season and the time that actually we are living in right now, that we are stepping into. You see, it's a question of us and our willingness to lift up our eyes and to dare to see the possibility and the opportunities. Because, you see, when we are in a season like we have now stepped into, there is a lot of things going on. A lot of things in the spiritual realm is going on. And some of us, we will even be shocked, because you're going to find out that when you take certain initiatives, maybe you tried to do that like last year and it didn't work, but this year when you start to do that, it will work.
That's right.
Because things have come into the right place.
Amen.
You see, I believe it works like this. I remember, I mean, I had this feeling. I shared this yesterday in a pastor's conference, and I said it's like it's something in the air, I think it's a song. Something in the air tonight. I walked around singing that song. That's not a Christian song. I don't know if it's a good song or not, but it's just something in the air. And it's like you just have this feeling, something in the air. I feel spring in the air. It's very odd. Even though it's fall. September, I start to feel spring in the air. And I remember almost the same time, maybe actually exactly 11 years ago, I had the same kind of experience, not in the nation I lived in, but for a certain area. It was Central Asia, this part of the Muslim Republic, which has been like a stronghold for Satan for so many years. And I was going in there quite a lot, but every time I went there, it was like hitting your head in a door, you know. It was very hard. And then I went there one time, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and he said like this: "There's a new season coming here." And I remember this. This was really prophetic, very powerful it was. And I came home to this big church I was one of the ministers in. And I had this. Was preaching on a Wednesday night that time. It was 96. And when I was preaching this, the Holy Spirit came. It's a big church, like 3,000 people. And I just had this enormous assurance that we are stepping into something new right now. The day after, I had a meeting with a senior pastor there, a very good friend of mine. And we were talking in his office about whatever. We were sitting making jokes about each other probably and laughing. And while we were sitting in that office, suddenly, just like from somewhere, a third person came in. We didn't see him, but we knew he was there. I mean, man and woman, I mean, my hair, I mean, in the neck stood up. I got goosebumps. I didn't dare to turn around. I just knew God is here. The Holy Spirit is here. And he gave a vision, and he showed maps, a very specific vision. And he spoke out very clearly what was about to happen. It was exactly the same thing which I had in my heart, that I carried with me. And it took 20 minutes. And this was so much... It was so much in line with everything I had in my spirit, and it came so, it was so supernatural, and I knew when it left, and I wrote down all the things, and we even wrote a map exactly how it worked out. And then I asked the senior pastor, "Okay, what am I supposed to do now?" And he has shouted to me, go there. So within a few days, I took off. Pretty wild, because it's unreached places, impossible to do ministry there. And I took off and I went into some of those nations, which were really no nominal Christians there, only some Russian Christians, no really, what do you call it, Christians from their own people group. And within 4 hours after I came there, I preached and I had an evangelistic meeting, and things started to happen. So within 6 months, we had seen a new church started there. I had been up in the government. I had seen doors open up like crazy. And just according to what the Holy Spirit had said in this vision. And I knew I could go anywhere in those areas and God would open up doors. Because it was that season. I could talk for 5 hours here, because it's could write the book about it. Maybe I should do that, because we saw some powerful thing happen. Extraordinary thing. So Muslims receiving Jesus, I mean, leaders up in government under the, you know, just broke down under the anointing of the Holy Spirit and open up doors that was absolutely forbidden to do. And they have stuff like that happen. And the reason I'm saying that is because I kind of have, not the same thing, but I kind of have the same, I have this feeling. When you say feeling, it's not a feeling that I'm always feel it, but I have sense that we are stepping into something here, and this is about Europe. This is about UK, this is about London. So this is about London. And when I've been talking about this, God has said three things to me, and I will not talk long here to you tonight, but I want to say three things. First thing I wanted to say, and I wanted to say, that there is a new season. And there is different ways you can see that, because many times when something like that is being released, you see a lot of changes and a dramatic events in the world or in the nation. A lot of changes in the natural. Ever since I moved in here to UK 4 years ago, I mean, I think there's been quite a lot of dramatic changes in this nation. It's not the same nation as I moved in here 4 years ago. Just the last couple of days been like people, I mean, I don't know if you've been watching the CNN. Oh, what do you have here? Not CNN, BBC, Sky, whatever. And you see all those guys standing like queuing for a whole night to come in to just get their money out of this bank who probably didn't do a good job. But I mean, stuff like that we didn't see before. And this up and down with the interest rate and war and whatever, this flood. And I mean, I'm not trying to be super spiritual, but I don't think we need to be that. There is a lot of changes going on here. And it's not just because of pollution. It's not just because we are flying too much. I mean, I would probably pay a lot of tithe because I'm on an airplane every week. But you see, it's because there is something going on, you know. And in seasons like this, the Holy Spirit is at the same time doing things. And I cannot explain why it is. It was the same, you see, when the communists fell down. I was very active at that time. I could tell you things about that as well, because it's the same feeling. There was a lot of dramatic changes, and in all those dramatic changes, the same time the Holy Spirit started to move, and He brought forth a season of harvest in those nations that was unheard of. I mean, you know, because I think some of you were there at that time, Blaine. You could go into the Red Square in Moscow, you could start preaching about almost whatever, and you will have a crowd and people will convert, be saved. Because it was a season of harvest. I used to come from those huge crusades. We preached for 50,000 people sometimes. We saw tens of thousands of people receiving Jesus. We saw miracles, signs and wonder. And then I came back to my city in Sweden. It was like, bleh. I preached the same gospel. I kicked the same doors. I shouted even louder. I prayed more. Not the same result. Yes. And then it was like, oh yeah, no, but it's because the prophet is not welcome in his own hometown. Yeah, yeah, that's a principle there. But there is also, it's also about the season, huh? And now we are stepping in. I don't think we will see it like we've seen it in India or Eastern Europe or so. I'm not saying that. But I think that things are shifting in the spirit. And many times when things like this is happening, the Holy Spirit is saying the same thing to many different spiritual leaders. And I must say, I mean, just a little journey. I've done this 9 days. I've been preaching to a lot of people. I met a lot of pastors. I didn't plan for that. Or maybe I did, but I was not aware of that. It was like that. And I shared this a little different way, but I shared this, and I had so many pastors coming to me. And some of them are well-known pastors. And they said, this is exactly a exactly what we sense. And I never, you see, when I shared with Les here before, we just had a coffee. We didn't plan to meet him. We just stopped talking. And I just felt the Holy Spirit come in the restaurant. I thought, we don't need to have a meeting here. Let's just talk. Because it's something in the air tonight.
Yes.
And I was in Germany, eastern part of Germany, this weekend, last weekend. I did a conference there. And it's an interesting place. I helped that church for quite a few years. And it's great, because they... I'm not bragging, but this is what the pastor said, and I like that. He said, every time you come here, we see new people be saved, quite a lot. And it doesn't happen in Germany, in many places. And those people, they stay in church. So whenever I come there now, they always have like some kind of evangelistic stuff as well. So we had that now as well, and we saw new people be saved from the streets, saved, bam, like this. Great. And I was sharing this about the harvest. And the pastor was sitting weeping on the front row. I was like, and he said, "Bengt, I am." And he said exactly the same words as Les told me in the coffee bar here. I didn't tell you, but he did. He expressed it exactly the same way. It is time now. We need to change, turn the church inside out, whatever we say it, you know. That can be a slogan, but I mean radically. And just get prepared for the harvest. Amen. So I had talks always, sitting till late at night, just talking about this pastor. And both of us, we almost hit the roof before we went to bed. I mean, it was like, and God confirmed this, you know, confirmed this. By a lot of people got saved. And then on the Saturday afternoon, I said to him that I took him to the fitness center. I do that myself, and I thought I'm going to take him because he had a little too big belly. I thought, so I take him to the fitness center. So I took him there, and it was the first time he was there, same age as me, and never been in a fitness center. I thought that was a shame. So we did a strong workout together. And while I was walking around in the fitness center, I saw a poster. And I that was really funny. It was a poster where they made advertisement for aerobic, the DDR way. You know, the DDR is the East German way. And I read it. I knew German. I learned a lot of German this weekend as well, actually. And I read it, and I said, we want to do things the East German way. It is a movement, actually, in that part of Germany now. It's totally crazy. And they have these gatherings on Wednesday evenings or something like that. And they have to have their East German clothes on. You know, like sport clothes. Do you remember Olympic Game 1974 or something like that one? You saw the East German runners and they had their trousers up like this, you know. And they looked, I mean, come on. This is the way they, and then they have this East German emblem on the chest. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me. That was great. I shared this in something. So the Holy Spirit said to me, "Bang, tell them they cannot choose what season they are living in. Mm-hmm. You don't have a choice." Hallelujah. I never thought about it like that. Tell them, you cannot go back into the DDR time. It's a new time now. You cannot choose that. You don't have the authority over the time. We never have. God has the authority there. We can choose whether we want to lift our eyes or not. And I'm sorry to say, even if I smile, I say, there will be people who will stand with food bags in their hand, and they will only see the provision for themselves. And when Jesus say, lift up your eyes, they will say, why should I do that? I'm not in this for this. And then the Holy Spirit gave me too. I said the Holy Spirit gave me, and I think He did actually. He spoke to me. There's two main reasons, hindrances, why people don't want to go into this, or let's say, why they don't want to lift their eyes from their food bag or from their situation. Number one, sounds pretty tough, but I believe it's true. It's disobedience and rebellion. I think we're going to see in this time. Now take me right. I'm not picking on you, because you are good guys. I know you look very good. But I believe we're going to see in this time, you see, reactions. And probably this is a prophetic word I'm bringing to you. Not to you, but maybe to somebody who listened to this. We're going to see a reaction of an almost supernatural kind when this, if I say transformation, is starting.
Yes.
You're going to see reactions almost in a supernatural way. And I saw it Sunday morning when I shared this. Man, some were so angry. I knew if they could, they would have beaten me up. Nice Christian, been saved for 25 years. They were so angry at me. I just said stuff like this. And what is going on? And the pastor said, bang. I know. And he told me what's going on. I didn't know that. And you see, because it becomes very close to us, you see. Because the third thing I want to say to you, and this is maybe a little dramatic, but what God requires from you and me in seasons like this is involvement. And I know, I stand in Westminster Business Center in London, the busiest place in the world. It's quite cool to say things like this here. And to say to somebody, actually, you need to get involved in this. Some of you think, at least some of you that listen to this tape right now, you think, I'm already involved enough. Let me tell you a story that also happened these days. It's been a strange week for me. I was down in Bulgaria and I had a breakthrough conference there last weekend in a city called Plovdiv. It's a church I've been involved in from the beginning and helped start it. And I've been working a lot in Bulgaria since 85 until 97, you can say. We were doing a lot of stuff there. And now they have asked me to come there once a year, and I do that. And last year when I was preaching on that conference, so always a lot of people from all over Bulgaria is coming, pastors and leaders also. And the translator, her name is Silva. I was not aware of this, but suddenly when I was preaching, I stopped. And I turned around to her, and I prophesied. Usually I'm a bit careful about that, but I felt this is God. So I said to her, next year, at this time, you're going to be pregnant. And I was kind of, I thought, wow, that didn't come from me. I mean, I just said it. So I hope it's God, you know. And someone from on the first front row, they reacted like they almost got angry, you know. And she got angry at me. She said to me after, well, let us see that. And then I said, well, I know you're married, so what's the problem? And she said, I've been married for 11 years. I cannot have children. It's physically impossible. Okay, I said. Well, that's probably why God wants you to have it then. So it's doing a miracle. And then all this time, I mean, I kind of forgot about it, but then I received a very angry letter from her, like late last year. And both angry and she was sad, of course. And she said, you know, we cannot have children. I don't know what the whole nation knows, Christian nation know about me. Everybody's talking, because she's one of the best translators. Everybody's talking about it now. Why did you say that? Couldn't you say that privately with me? I said, well, I don't know. I mean, I'm not God. I said what I felt I should say. I didn't know about the situation. I'm sorry. And then it's been like this, and I didn't really bother so much. But then I came down now, last weekend, and she was not there. I said, where is she? And I said, she's pregnant. She's in the third month. I said, that's fantastic. I didn't know that. Yeah, I said, but the bad thing is, 2 days before you arrived, she almost lost a child. She almost had a miscarriage. Okay, so I heard this. I was the only speaker, actually, on this big conference. And this was over me all this weekend. And after, I told the church, we must pray for this baby, you know. I almost felt like it's my baby, you know. Have you ever had that feeling? Of course, if you're expecting Charlie, you know, there's a fight. But I felt this represents even something more, you know. Because there's a harvest there. It's a miracle. It's something that God is bringing on. And I felt like, come on, I need to get involved here. So I said to the pastors after a while, cancel whatever, you know, if you have something more planned. I need to go to the hospital in Sofia. And I don't care if they receive me or not. I'm going to lay hands on this woman and on this baby. Because she was bleeding. I mean, I don't know really what the name, but she almost had contraction, whatever, you know. She was just about to lose the baby. So I went into this hospital and I felt like the Holy Spirit was over me, you know, because he was speaking to me at the same time. Because I felt like he's also talking about what we are stepping into right now. Because there is a battle about what is coming. There's a battle about this harvest. Amen. Amen. So it's not only that we accept that, okay, yes, you can do what you want, Lord. Bring people, unsaved people, and we will accept that. That's okay. But he wants us to take one step further. He wants us to be involved with everything we are. Amen. So I walked into this woman hospital in Sofia last weekend. It's a dirty place, I tell you. I met the doctor. She had blood stains all over her white jacket. I thought, what can it look like, a butcher's place? And then they took me into this room where she was. And I said, I will not be here a long time, but I'm going to pray for you. And I spoke encouraging to her. And I laid a hand on her and I prayed for her. And I felt like I'm protecting the harvest here.
Yes.
We are keeping things. And the bleeding stopped.
Hallelujah.
And she kept the baby. And that's a miracle in itself.
Thank you, Jesus.
But it was also me. It was like, it was a sign or whatever you call it. God spoke to me from that. So there's three things that he said to me. He said, understand, there's a new season. Secondly, you cannot choose what season you are living in. It's not for you to decide.
Yes.
You see, there is a Christian freedom, spiritual freedom we have. And we talk about being free in Christ, and we believe that. But there are certain things that we can never control.
Yeah.
The only thing we can do is to lift our eyes or keep our head down and just see on our own, as I said, full bag. The Holy Spirit will, I think he will do remarkable things.
Yes.
Things that we cannot orchestrate. We cannot decide that. He's going to lead us. He's going to cause us to take initiatives, which sometimes is a bit different. And maybe you heard this before, and I've said these things before. You see, I'm in a position where sometimes I preach about things and I know people are not receiving it because the season is not there. I know that. But sometimes when you say certain things, you know it's the right time to say it. And this is the feeling I have right now.
Thank you, Lord.
So when I'm saying, I believe we will see a powerful manifestation of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
In a remarkable way, with miracle signs and wonders.
Amen.
But it will come in a different way. Maybe it will be in a different area. It will be in a different environment, a different setup. But I just want you to prepare for that. And when we will have those Wednesday evenings, because I will be here a couple of times more this year, I think. One time, two times maybe. What is it? Or will I? I don't know. You said so. The conference in November, yeah. And when what will happen? I believe that there's going to be a focus on this, you see. It's not going to be a focus so much anymore on who we are. We've been focusing on that. It's important.
That's right.
But now we know it.
That's right.
I said, now we know it.
Amen. Amen. That's truth.
And now the manifestation of it, the revelation of it.
That's right.
Would be when we see those things work through us.
Amen.
And the second main reason, hindrance for you and me is fear and lack of faith or unbelief. And I've been talking about this quite a lot, and I've said it here before. I guess you heard me say it. I think fear is our greatest enemy. And the spirit of fear actually has nothing to do with you and me.
That's
right.
It's an alien force.
Right.
It's a visitor in your life that has no right to be there.
Yes.
And it's directly from your old nature. This is the old nature. It's the old spirit. Old Adam and old Eve. Full of fear.
Right.
But you see, your new nature is different. And you know that. We know about this. But I think I told you, or maybe I didn't say to you. I've started to do some experiments. We see quite a lot of people receive Jesus different places. And I check sometime, because I want to know that what we do is real. Okay? So when people come forward to receive Jesus, I sometimes ask one question to those people. And that question is, if you would ask God for something right now, number one, your greatest desire, what would you like to see? What would you like to have? And I've done that to Christians sometimes, you know, people who've been there for a long time. Say, I would like a new car, I would like new job, and it's okay. I mean, God blesses us with that. But whenever you take a new, say, person in that situation, they always say the same thing. And what they say is this: I want my mother or my father or my brother or my sister or my best friend or my, you know, somebody, my husband, my wife, I want them to be saved. It's the first thing that comes out of their mouth. And what is that? You know, they are saved, they are born again. And in their nature, new nature, directly, you have the principle of the kingdom of God.
Yes.
Give out. Win more. Multiplication. So, when you think about that, and think about your own life, because you are the same, and you are the same still, this is actually something that is already pulsing inside of you.
Yes.
There's a stream, there's a river inside of you.
Amen.
There who is going this direction.
Amen.
So it's not that you see, oh, it's a harvest time. Oh, we need to change everything in our life. We'll turn ourselves upside down. You know, no. It's normal for us. I said it's normal for us to bring forth fruit, to win other people to the Lord, to witness, to testify, to cast out devils, to lay hands on the sick, to be a vessel of glory for God. It is normal for us because we are created that way. That's in our new nature. The reason why those two components who is trying to hinder us all the time, of course, the first one is your flesh. Rebellion is your flesh. Your flesh does, and it will never want. And we know this. I was at the hair, cutting my hair early this morning, and I came back to 1:30 yesterday night. I was so tired, and then I had to go to the hairdresser because I'm going for another conference this weekend, and my wife wants me to look good. And I was so tired because it was early in the morning at book of time, and I was sitting there. And I thought, I hope they will not ask me who I am. Have you ever had that question? Don't talk. Just cut. Have you ever had that question? You know, and they start off wash my hair. Okay, you dip the hair and they wash, and they give you a massage on the head like this, and you can almost fall asleep. So okay, just don't say anything, be quiet. And then this little hairdresser, she start cutting, and then she's asking, and then she start asking about my son, because my son looked like me a little bit, and we probably talked the same way. And she said, oh, he has been here also. Oh, what are you doing? I said, well, I'm a pastor, you can say. I'm talking, giving teachings and such. And then she started to ask questions, you know. And I said, this is early in the morning. I have to sit here and preach to this woman also. But you see, it was not hard. She was very happy. So I made another appointment with her directly. I thought, next time we'll continue this conversation. Then I tipped her well. She got so happy she almost got start weeping. You see, in your flesh you will never want. But that's your flesh. Flesh. Flesh.
That's truth. Flesh.
Flesh. That's your flesh. Fleisch, this in Germany. You will never want. And you will never, in your own effort, overcome that.
Yes, that's right.
You see, some people are like, they think that if I only can, that flesh will go away. You know, I have sometimes people coming to me after meetings, you know. You preach about different things that, you know, challenging stuff, and then they come and they say, please, Brother Bank, please pray for me so that I will always have a willingness to do the will of God. I said, the only way I can pray for you then is to pray that God kill you now and then, and you come to heaven, because then your flesh will not be there anymore. Because as long as you live here, you're going to have to drag around that flesh. It is crucified, yes, but we need to agree with that the flesh is crucified.
Amen.
And you see, the flesh can so much influence our personality, so we think we are exactly like the thing or the person the flesh says we are. And some even they think they're half flesh and half spirit. It's terrible. You are not. Your flesh is dead. But you see, some people, they think, oh, but my flesh is saying, and I'm like this, you know. And then somebody comes and says, you need to go out and witness now. Come on, witness. It's revival time. And it's like a battle inside. No, I'm not this. And you almost feel obligated to listen to what that flesh says. You don't need that. You can make a decision. You can lift your eyes. Whenever I'm I mean, Les, I'm sure, and Dottie, you're the same. Whenever we're going to talk about, when we're going to preach, when we're going to share things from God, there's always a flesh who says, no. I'm sorry. I felt it here also. I was here. I'm tired. And it's a flesh saying, no, sit down. It's not that I'm a fleshly person, not more than you. I mean, we all have a flesh. But you see, we need to crucify that flesh. And the way I crucify my flesh is to step on it. And I said, shut up. I'm going to do this anyway.
Yes.
But in our flesh, we have rebellion.
That's right.
And rebellion is witchcraft, which is, that's terrible. I have teachings about this, because that can be really devastating, especially in your own life and in your family life, if you are in that situation. But rebellion is not something that you should spend a second with. Leave it, crucify it there. I don't think you have a rebellious spirit. I don't think so. I think your flesh is rebellious. But in your heart, you are not rebellious. But every person that I know a lot of people, every person that are rebellious, they are in the flesh.
That's right.
I met one guy this weekend, full of rebellion. He's sitting, he's been one of the assistant pastor in that church, and he's sitting in a meeting and he says, and the more I preach, and here I went to him last time I was there and said, I'm going to talk to you, and I warned him, I prophesied over him, I said, you do like this and this and this, otherwise you will be out. Now he's out because he didn't do it. And the pastor said, well, he has a rebellious spirit. No, it's not a spirit, it's his flesh.
Right.
You can handle your flesh. We all need to take our flesh under us.
That's right.
It's the same with our fear. We just need to come to a realization. Come on, fear is not for me.
Right.
Period. I'm not motivated by fear. If I am motivated by fear, I make a decision because I'm a free person. I don't have to listen to fear anymore.
That's right.
I am free to listen to what faith in my heart is saying. I don't have to be motivated by this fear. I don't have to make my choices by fear. I don't have to walk by fear. I don't have to hold back by fear. I don't need to hide myself by fear, because I'm a faith person. I'm a radically changed person. I have a different nature. My nature is not a fear nature. I don't have a fearful nature. I have faith there.
Amen.
And you see, we're going to see those two things. They're going to pop up like monkeys when we start to do the real things. I tell you. And I say to you, when they pop up, shoot the head of them. Remember what I'm saying here.
Yes.
That always happens. I'm not saying that we... Of course we need to help people, because some are so totally influenced by fear. So they are fear, you know. Almost. And it's just a little glimpse of light. But there's so much fear in them. Then you need to help them. And break through for them. And stand with them. And just be with them. Because you're going to have to deal with a lot of people like that in the world when the harvest is coming in here.
That's right.
Just be ready. But see to you're free before. See to that you know how to deal with it. This is what it's all about. This is what Jesus was teaching. This is what the church are meant to be doing. Get people so free so they can set other people free.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
And just basic Christianity. Go out and win the lost.
This
was what I wanted to say. I could give you a good sermon, but I don't think we need to do that. The interesting thing with John chapter 4 is that Jesus, he's giving us such a wonderful example there. If you read before, when he's sitting down with this woman at the well. And this, I think, is a chapter where actually the Holy Spirit's gonna emphasize this for us a lot this time. So I recommend you read it. We don't read it now, but recommend you read it when you come home or when you have time to read the Bible. And just see how Jesus is dealing with this woman. And see the reaction of the disciples and see the difference. The disciples is just taking off. Jesus is led by the Spirit. He's doing something unusual. It's not very usual for a man from Galilee to sit down 12 o'clock daytime, lunchtime, at the well. I mean, it was common. The woman that came there, they were not, the best woman. They were the one who was ashamed for something. And the first thing Jesus said, "Hey, can you give me some water?" He took the initiative. He didn't say, "You sinner." He didn't confront her. He didn't confront her at all. He was just having a conversation. He was anointed. The Holy Spirit. The anointing of the Holy Spirit is doing wonderful things through you and me. Amen. And this woman hardly noticed that Jesus was just taking the sword of the Spirit. Bam! Because it felt so good for her, because it came a release. Yeah. She didn't have time to defend herself. It was just there. I've seen this a lot of times. You see, when you have evangelistic meeting in different places and there's unsaved people, I don't have to stand and look serious and call them sinners and confront them. I can smile. And I know the anointing of God is reaching out and He's convincing them about righteousness, sin, and judgment. This is what the Holy Spirit is doing. This is what the Holy Spirit did for Jesus. And a new town, a new area, unreached area, received Jesus, received the kingdom of God. There is areas here in this city that are going to receive the kingdom of God. That is. My oldest daughter, she's working, she's studying, but she's working also very much in a church. She's one of the leaders in Stockholm, in a quite big church, together with her husband. And now my second daughter is there as well. And maybe I told you this, no, I don't think I do. In May this year, I mean, those guys have been living in this expectation for a long time. And actually they have changed the whole concept of the church. So now every church member is a fruit-bearing Christian. Neither they want it or not. But they want it, otherwise they left already. But the Holy Spirit said to them, "I'm going to do something extraordinary this summer." Now you must understand, Stockholm is one of the most secular cities in the world actually. It's a very tough climate there spiritually. The church has been on their knees, you know. It's not, they have not seen a revival there for many years. And the Holy Spirit said to the leadership team there, "I want you to prepare for a breakthrough this summer. Just came. I want you to rent the largest hall, concert hall, in the city. It's called the Globe. If you've been to Stockholm, you know where it is. You see it from all over. It looks like an egg. It's a beautiful one. And you can get maybe 12,000 people or 14 if you... And it's an ice hockey stadium as well. And everybody knows where it is. It's the largest in Scandinavia. And it costs £50,000 for an evening to rent it. So it's quite expensive. So they took an offering. In one offering they covered the cost. And then God gave them an idea. This is how you're going to feel it. Every church member is a missionary. Every church member will take at least 2 days a week in the evenings. And in Stockholm they are more busy. I dare to say they are at least as busy as in London. I mean, they work a lot. They are more working out there than in England. And they took 2 evenings a week the whole summer. Some cancelled the whole holiday just to be able to do this. And they went out and they spoke to people on the streets. So, and then they gathered names and they did like this. They asked questions. How can we pray for you? What do you need? And everybody had something. So they took prayer needs and they said, okay, now if we can have your mobile number as well, we can send you an SMS and we can keep contact. And we did. And we had like, I don't know, 20, 30,000 contacts after a while. And we had this prayer thing going on all the time. We didn't do this, you know, with big thing, you know. There was no other church involved, actually. There was only them. They didn't do any advertisement. And they said like this, we're going to rent this and we're not going to do a Christian event. We don't want Christians there. Because the Holy Spirit said, you're going to fill it with sinners. When I heard about it, my first reaction, to be honest, was like, wow, that was kind of cool, actually. I wonder, are they really going to fill it? But then I keep contact with my daughter, and she said, you know, those guys, they are sending SMS back and forth, and now we have miracles happening in these people. And there are some of them that want to give testimonies. So they made, took a list of testimonies. And then on the 28th of August or something like that, they opened up this globe and they filled it up with sinners. Thousands, maybe 8,000 sinners came in there. That's unheard of. And then they had some of those testimonies about healings. I've had some cool rappers and some music, you know, not worship and stuff, just. And then a very simple presentation about Jesus, but very radical. And they had a possibility to receive Jesus there. Hundreds of them. I don't know exact number. 400-500 people. 400-500 people. Receive Jesus. Today, we have a second Sunday morning service. Not because a lot of other Christians thought it was cool. They don't allow Christians to come there, only the new saved. And we have like 400-500 new people they are working with. Everyone is following these people up. This is unheard of. I never heard about something like that. But you see, there's a season of harvest now. Initiatives like that is working. And I was very encouraged, actually.